Welcome to Talk Nation Radio, a half-hour discussion on politics, human rights, and the environment. I'm Dori Smith. Gareth Porter joins us to talk about the topic of the past few shows, which is Rob Simmons, the war in Vietnam, and the war in Iraq. First, part two of our interview with Douglas Valentine, author of the book The Phoenix Program, about the war in Vietnam. His book describes a CIA operation which involved the use of computerized lists of Vietnamese targeted for ambush, arrest, detention, and interrogation by members of the U.S. Central Intelligence Agency. Many were killed. Torture was rampant. It is not a history taught in most U.S. high schools or even in most colleges, though you can find information on the website douglasvalentine.com. Valentine writes for Counterpunch, where in 2000 he published a piece called Rob Simmons, the CIA, and the Issue of War Crimes in Vietnam, The Spook Who Would Be Congressman. Last week, we heard Congressman Rob Simmons admit to Douglas Valentine during a taped interview that he ran an interrogation center for the CIA in Vietnam and did some of the interrogations himself. Simmons also told a writer named Mark Moyer that he would withhold medical care from wounded prisoners in order to force them to talk. Attorney Wells Dixon of the Center for Constitutional Rights explained to us that this was against the Geneva Conventions.
The denial of medical care to someone in the custody of the United States certainly would be illegal and unconscionable, and it would violate the Geneva Conventions. No question about it.
As he spoke with Simmons at length, Douglas Valentine learned details about how the CIA's interrogation centers were set up, what the protocols were for obtaining information on Vietnamese being targeted.
Laid an ambush to stop the movement of cadres of Hoa Thong.
And it's basically a province team which mm-hmm. could go into a district, and then it would hook up with the district people who would be specialists of what was going on in that area.
Yeah.
Okay.
Occasionally the district teams would go do their own thing.
Okay.
Too. I mean, this the Sifu of San Hoa District. See, Tuyen and San Hoa had them in Dong Xuân. Here's some of the things that they did. And this is, again, Chief Nam writing the letter, trying to get some, get some feedback from the SPB, Natrang. Secret agent of this network gave the information, so the Sifu went out and laid an ambush at these coordinates, killed two communists, captured one communist, seized an AK-47, one Mauser, one mine. Here, a rallier took them out to Sok Mau at this coordinate. Two VC were wounded. One seized a carbine, a clip, five grenades, blah, blah, blah. I mean, this is the standard sort of weapons that you would find with a VC, not with the main forces.
Right.
Red stock rifles, this sort of stuff. They got a bunch of stuff. 2EN. Now, that is what you see here.
Yeah.
That's the rallier there. She was a Vo Thi Hong Phan. She took them out, showed them where the stuff was, and they went out and they got it. There was somebody there when they got there, so they had a little firefight.
Yeah.
And so that's what you have. And here she is again with the flag and the rice. They seized the rice. Parachute material was frequently used by the VC for various things.
Just somebody representing every branch of the...
I know.
Every Vietnamese agency.
One of the problems she had was getting equipment.
Yeah.
That was uniform. And, these guys, it didn't matter. They're all part of the same group in spite of the somewhat of the difference. But you're right. I couldn't tell you exactly how many of these were on the team and how many...
And these, of course, interviews taped with Rob Simmons by author Douglas Valentine for the book The Phoenix Program. Rob Simmons made repeated comments that tie him to the Phoenix Program, where he obtained the names of prisoners to be targeted. Here again is his admission that he did interrogations while he ran the Phuyen Province Interrogation Center for the CIA in Vietnam.
For particular types of information. And occasionally I would do the interrogation myself.
Okay.
For somebody that seemed to be reluctant to work with the South Vietnamese or with any Vietnamese, but if an American comes in and he's alone and he speaks a little bit of the language, maybe they'll warm up to him. So I did some of it myself. the whole focus was to try to have good relations with the police, was to ensure that prisoners were being properly treated, because as far as I was concerned, the PIC program was an American program, and if it didn't run right, it was going to make us look bad.
Well, how many, did you have a special police officer who was your PIC chief?
Yes, but the PIC chief worked for the, you know, he was a policeman.
A special branch
special
police.
Branch police. Okay. That's correct.
But so he reports to the national police chief.
That's right. He reports up through the police structure, but he also knows that the building was built. See, they were built and then turned over.
Yes, I understand.
Okay.
Yeah.
But he also knows that, hey, you know, this building came from the guy in the Quonset hut.
Also, special branch salaries are paid special by the
branch.
Americans, not
yeah.
by
That's
the
right.
VIPs.
And okay. also the agents.
Yeah.
If you got a hot agent that you want to recruit, the money comes.
Yeah. Yeah. yeah.
So
the informant networks.
The informant networks.
Yeah. Okay.
And so you know, I was very interested in the informant network. I was very interested in some of the quality interrogation that was going on.
Mm-hmm.
And I had access to resources so that I could manage that, so I could get what I wanted.
We also talked about a September 28th story in the Hartford Courant, written by Washington Bureau Chief David Lightman. Lightman began by telling readers that Rob Simmons would carry a copy of the Geneva Conventions in his pocket when he served in Vietnam. This article has helped provide cover for Simmons and the president as they've promoted a detainee abuse bill that they've tried repeatedly to get through Congress. Lightman repeated the deceptive information Simmons gave him that the Military Commissions Act will correct imperfections in detainee laws. In fact, the purpose of the new law is to give decision-making power about detainees to the executive branch, the CIA, and the military. They will now be able to call anyone they choose to an enemy combatant, and then take away that person's right to have an attorney, or even let human rights agencies and other groups know that they've been detained. While the CIA has been involved in every phase of arresting, detaining, and interrogating prisoners arrested in the so-called War on Terror, the new rules laid out by the Army on how prisoners should be treated will not even apply to the CIA. Secrecy about the CIA's arrest of prisoners labeled enemy combatants has made it next to impossible for human rights organizations to reach clients in places like Guantanamo. And yet, attorneys were able to learn at least some of the details about clear torture of Guantanamo inmates. It is now known that many of the prisoners in the War on Terror who were arrested in various countries and subjected to rendition, taken to countries like Libya or Syria, have been tortured, and the Military Commissions Act may protect those who have already engaged in such acts. It is known, for example, that torture produced false results, and that the link between Al-Qaeda and Iraq that was established prior to the invasion was made through the torture of a prisoner named Al-Libi. His testimony gained through torture was later proven false. The use of torture has therefore failed to protect Americans. At a press conference last month, though, State Department spokesperson John Bellinger III was being grilled on the latest effort to seal the Military Commissions Act with Congress. And when a member of the foreign press asked him about the fact that the CIA won't have to adhere to the new manual the Army has put out to protect detainees from torture, Bellinger indicated that Americans expect the administration to essentially take the gloves off on their behalf.
We have a robust and vigorous intelligence oversight process by our congressional committees, and the CIA's intention is to work with those committees who represent our Congress to make sure that they're comfortable with this program. At the same time, I think the American people do expect that if we capture senior members of Al-Qaeda in the future who we think have got information about plots in the United States or around the world, the American people expect, and I think the world community would expect, that these individuals are going to be questioned and questioned rigorously to know what information that they have, and that there needs to be a way to do that.
What Bellinger didn't say is that the problem has been trying to stop the military and the CIA from engaging in just about any tactics they want to, And when oversight is attempted, the White House and the military rewrites the law. We return now to our interview with Douglas Valentine, author of The Phoenix Program. I had been reading from the David Lightman piece in the Hartford Courant on Rob Simmons' support for the detainee laws, and we pick up our interview at the point where I noted what Rob Simmons told Lightman about his trip to Guantanamo prison. Rob Simmons said the prisoners there, quote, had food, medical attention, private rooms, and they could communicate freely with others. Rob Simmons also said their treatment was favorable to anything I saw in Vietnam. What do you make of that, Douglas Valentine?
Well, that's kind of a mind-blowing statement for Rob to make. And the first point being that Guantanamo is better than anything he saw in South Vietnam. That just speaks volumes to how awful and how terrible things must have been. Things were in Vietnam, especially at that interrogation center that he ran for almost 2 years. You can't even imagine it if you're a listener to this program. You just have to think about something that's out of the Middle Ages in order to get close to what Rob Simmons was doing for 2 years in South Vietnam at that interrogation center. By his own admission, when he's comparing it to what goes on at Guantanamo. The second thing is to say that these prisoners at Guantanamo can communicate freely. It's just an outrageous lie. Those prisoners in Guantanamo are committing suicide left and right because they don't even let these people get to sleep. They shine lights on them. They play music all day long. The torture that they're subjected to is just unimaginable. And to say that Vietnam is worse just speaks volumes to what Rob Simmons was up to over there.
I want to turn to page 318 of your book and ask you about William Colby. He evidently defined the Phoenix program he ran as an internal security program for protecting Vietnamese people from the communists. Talk about that statement and what the program really was.
First of all, the people were communists, so who he's protecting is hard to say. That in itself is a very artful phrase. We're protecting the people from the communists, but the people were communists, and that's why they won the war. The people that the CIA was backing and that Colby is sort of, you know, saying he was protecting were people who were on the CIA payroll or the payroll of the U.S. military. One can make a very close analogy to what's going on in Iraq. You know, Bush or Rumsfeld might say, well, we're protecting the Iraqis from terrorism. What they mean is they hired a couple of Iraqis who collaborate with the Americans, and those are the people who are targets of most of the Iraqi people who just want the Americans to leave and their country back. So what Colby's saying is just a lie on the face of it. Phoenix didn't protect anybody from terrorism. Phoenix was terrorism, just like what the CIA and the American military are doing in Iraq right now is terrorism. It's not protecting anybody from terrorism. It's creating terrorism. And what they're trying to do is terrorize everybody who doesn't think the way they think and doesn't behave the way they want them to, into submission. And that's what happened in Vietnam, where the CIA lost because the people rose up and were a superior force and overcame this big lie. And that's what's happening in Iraq right now. Despite all the propaganda, all the psychological warfare that's waged against the American people, the operational reality in Iraq is that the majority of the people just want the Americans out of there and their country back. And that's why Bush is in such a big jam now. And that's why Rob Simmons is such a danger. Because even though he knows better, having been in Vietnam, and having seen the realities, he's still lying to everybody, day in and day out. He's still preaching the CIA line. And that's not right, because he's elected to serve the people. And he's not serving the people. He's serving the CIA and the power elite that they serve.
And now we turn to my interview with Rob Simmons that occurred shortly after his debate in New London on September 18th. Simmons and the former president, George H.W. Bush, had discredited or tried to discredit the Church and Pike committees that were trying to hold the CIA accountable during the 1970s. And of course, reports about what the Church and Pike Committee found are available online. Simmons called their extensive findings hogwash.
I felt as a person on the front line in a foreign country undercover trying to collect information for my leadership, for me to be characterized the way we were characterized during those committee hearings, I felt was unfair. I'm a Vietnam veteran, but that doesn't mean I'm Lieutenant Calley.
But they were talking about 25,000 dead under the Phoenix program, assassination by computerized system.
No.
And they were also talking about the reading of the mail of the American people.
It's hogwash.
But these facts were admitted,
If you read
the testimony, they admitted this.
I served for 3.5 years in Vietnam, and I think, there was a lot of propaganda, a lot of disinformation that was put out about the agency's various programs. Bill Colby was in charge of the Phoenix program. He went on to become the director of Central Intelligence. He was an honest and decent man. He would not engage in those activities.
So you're saying Phoenix didn't happen?
So we've heard a little bit about Colby, but just comment on what Rob Simmons said to me.
You just got to go back to the fact that being a CIA agent, officer in Vietnam is itself a crime. You can't be a spy in somebody else's country and say that what you're doing is okay. Rob Simmons was spying in Vietnam and running an interrogation center. So for him to admit that there were assassinations and torture would be, in effect, for him to confess to those war crimes. So he's not going to do that. He's not going to incriminate himself, because if this country ever comes to its senses, all these guys are going to be, like Simmons, are going to be put on trial as war criminals, because what they did was a war crime. And so he's got a vested interest, a personal interest, in lying to the American people about what the CIA is all about and what it does all around the world, what it did in South Vietnam, what he did as an undercover agent, which is a very nice way of saying he was spying illegally in other countries. All those things, which he won't admit, which he won't tell anybody about, he won't admit and he won't tell anybody about them, because they're all crimes.
Just sum up in a few words what Phoenix was, why they started this ground operation as opposed to the heavy air war they had been running in Vietnam.
They wanted to identify the individual leaders of the insurgency in South Vietnam, and they wanted to terrorize them by bringing them to these interrogation centers, torturing them, assassinating them and their families. The bombs were blowing up everybody, and they wanted to just be more cost-effective. And also they felt that it had a more terrifying effect on everybody in the population if they just had, and they did. The CIA had zillions of spies all over the place. They hired, they spread their black bag money all over the place, and they just created a society that was terrorized because you didn't know who was a CIA spy. That's what they do. It's really beyond anything that you can imagine how awful it is and how evil it is. And that's what Phoenix was, and that's what Rob Simmons was a part of. And that's what he and George Bush have in store for the United States, too.
Douglas Valentine, thanks so much for joining us. I wish we had more time to explore your last comment, but for those listeners who are interested, they can read Doug Valentine's book, The Phoenix Program, and articles online at Counterpunch. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Douglas Valentine is author of the book The Phoenix Program. His other books include The Hotel Tacloban, The Strength of the Wolf, and TDY. You can learn more at his webpage, douglasvalentine.com. And you can find my transcripts of the interviews with Rob Simmons about the Church and Pike committees and more online at talknationradio.com. We turn next to historian Gareth Porter, who is an expert on Vietnam, and he's been writing about the war in Iraq as well. Talk about what you know about what's gone on in both wars now that relates to torture.
Well, in the case of Vietnam, there's no question that there was torture in the field by U.S. military, and there may have been certainly torture by CIA people in interrogation centers in some occasions, but there certainly is no documented record at this point of anything like an official policy on the use of what would normally be called torture. The kinds of practices that have been officially approved for Iraq, for prisoners taken in Iraq and and Afghanistan in the present situation. That did not happen as a matter of policy, as far as historians have been able to establish in Vietnam. So this is, in fact, the first war, to my knowledge, where there has been an official policy of using what, by all common definitions, is indeed torture.
And so you've commented in the past that, no, Iraq is not Vietnam, it's worse. So we've seen some of the evidence in pictures and videotapes, too, of what was done to these prisoners. And it was done by U.S. soldiers, maybe U.S. advisors or CIA. We don't know exactly who was in all of these pictures. But what's the difference there?
And first of all, let me clarify. When I've written that that Iraq is not Vietnam, it's worse, what I meant by that is that the overall political military situation in terms of the U.S. position in Iraq is far worse than it ever was in Vietnam, or certainly that it was far worse than it was in Vietnam during the period of the major U.S. troop commitment. In other words, the opposition to the United States presence, the occupation by U.S. troops in Iraq, has far less support and far stronger opposition, far more opposition from the populations that are most directly affected by it, specifically in the case of the Sunni zones of Iraq. There is overwhelming evidence that the vast majority, and I don't mean just, you know, two-thirds, but far more than two-thirds of the Sunni population actively opposes or actively supports the opposition to the occupation. Now, in the case, and of course, the Sunnis are a minority in the country, but the most of the U.S. military force has been used against the Sunnis in the Sunni zone. So that's where the political position, or the political opposition by the Sunni population really counts. Now, if we now look at the Shiite population, who make up the majority, 60% of the population of Iraq, the evidence now is very clear that the vast majority of the Shiites also are actively opposed to the occupation, that Muqtada al-Sadr, who has an army, the Mehdi army, which now has at least several hundred thousand, a few hundred thousand at least, of men under arms, is very much interested in driving out the occupation and is making active preparations for doing so. So what I mean by, you know, it's much worse is essentially that the United States is in a much weaker position. I certainly don't want to be in a position of saying that the Vietnam War was not as bad in terms of the moral opprobrium that should be assigned to it as the Iraq War, because I don't think that's the case. I think they're both equally morally opprobrious.
Let me ask you about Congress in the matter of interrogation of detainees. The White House has been trying to get this bill through, or others like it, for some time, and finally seems to have succeeded. What are your thoughts on the military act that has just gone through that basically gives the power and authority to decide which detainees will be labeled enemy combatants?
Well, as has been commented by many, many people, I think quite correctly, this is a very, very big step toward untrammeled power on the part of the president and the executive branch. It's extremely dangerous. It does indeed give the power to name someone as an enemy combatant without any evidence and without any legal recourse to the White House and the executive branch, to the president's nominees. Though we know enough now, we should know enough to understand that any grant of power that can be used without accountability will be used without accountability, and it will be abused. I mean, that is the iron law of human nature. That is the iron law of human nature, and it is going to happen, it is as predictable as the night following day that there will be abuses of this. There will be intentional and unintentional use of this for purposes for which it is not intended, which presumably, I mean, in theory at least, is to make sure that no terrorist escapes who could do damage, who could kill Americans by carrying out a terrorist plot. We would be naive to believe that this is not going to be used for other purposes.
The State Department's John Bellinger III has argued that the American people have certain expectations as to how these prisoners in the war on terror are to be treated, and he was very clear that we expect heavy-handedness because that's going to get results.
Well, I don't think that's clear at all. I mean, I think the public opinion on this is certainly not clearly in favor of the president's position. And like all other polls, polling data, if there is a poll that suggests there is support of this, I think it very much depends on how the question is asked. I would not regard polling data that showed support for torture as very reliable. I think one would have to know exactly how the question is asked. I think if the question is asked in a way that reflects, the reality of the issue, of what the choices really are, people will overwhelmingly reject the kind of treatment of prisoners that is approved in this bill, which, I think even John McCain really, was not in favor of, but clearly caved in the end for political reasons.
Now, speaking of politics, we've been talking about Rob Simmons, and as it turns out, he ran the interrogation center in Fujian province that was run by the CIA. He was a CIA agent. What are your thoughts on just learning that?
Well, it's very important to understand what was happening in these interrogation centers. These were centers where it was a joint U.S. South Vietnamese military center for interrogating Viet Cong prisoners. What that meant was not simply military people, but ordinary civilians who got caught up in the web, in the net. But when I say ordinary civilians, I mean civilians who had various tasks in the political organization of the Vietnamese communist resistance in South Vietnam. These were people who were couriers. They were people who were very low-level people who did not have military information at all. They were certainly not the kinds of people who one could justify using, forcible or interrogation techniques that involved what we would call torture now. But what we do know is that the South Vietnamese military or security services did commonly carry out torture against not just high-value detainees, not just high-ranking officials or military people, but against these low-ranking civilians, including women, who were very commonly tortured. I have a friend here in Washington, in the D.C. area, who lived in Quang Ngai province, nearby the Quang Ngai Interrogation Center. And she had occasion to interview a number of women who were tortured by the South Vietnamese military. And it's clear that they were tortured with the knowledge, the full knowledge, of the CIA officials who ran those interrogation centers. So there's no question that the CIA was complicit in the use of torture by the South Vietnamese military across the board in South Vietnam.
Gareth Porter, we look forward to following up on this with you and talking about your more recent work on the Iraq War. Thanks so much for talking with us.
Thank you, Dory.
Gareth Porter is author of Perils of Dominance, Imbalance of Power, and the Road to War in Vietnam, in addition to scholarly works on Vietnam written during the 1980s. His work also appears regularly in scholarly publications, as well as online in Foreign Policy in Focus and Interpress Service. For Talk Nation Radio, I'm Dory Smith. Talk Nation Radio is produced in the studios of WHUS Stores, radio for the people at the University of Connecticut. WHUS.org to listen live Wednesdays at 5 p.m., TalkNation.org and TalkNationRadio.org for transcripts and discussion. Our music, Tell the Truth, by the Known Unknowns, locally in Connecticut. Washington sold our soul.